It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of July. We continue the series on things that'll be most important for basketball in the bubble. I talked to numerous people with the league and the Jazz yesterday. I'll update you on all of that and what's taking place as basketball is upon us, and then a bunch of news and notes around the NBA. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. I know what makes it way better to be a Jazz fan is basketball actually being played. And we are there today. We will have scrimmage games being played today, and tomorrow the Utah Jazz will take the court against the Phoenix Suns. We'll be broadcasting that game for you live. If you have League Pass, you should be able to get it. NBA is going to be airing a bunch of scrimmages as well for everyone. So super fun and exciting that we actually are at this point. I talked to a bunch of people yesterday in the bubble, and I want to update you on that. I want to tell you that today's show is also brought to you by rockauto.com. Reliably low prices, amazing selection. It's rockauto.com. So I talked to a bunch of different people in the bubble yesterday, and I actually had a really, it was kind of uplifting. The general vibe from everyone I talked to is one, most of all, that they feel safe. Aaron Falk was on with DJ and PK yesterday on 1280 The Zone, Aaron Falk of UtahJazz.com, and he almost made the comment that he felt guilty about it. He told a story about that he actually went to a gym and worked out in a gym in Orlando, and he certainly wouldn't do that at home. There is a really great feeling amongst everybody that is in Orlando that I've talked to that they're crazy safe, that the league has gone to just amazing levels of detail to make sure that, Aaron Falk and I did that interview last week, and at the end of the interview, Aaron got busted for having his mask off. He was away from all people, nowhere near anyone, had gone to a private spot outside to do the interview, and yet still there was someone there who said, hey, could you please put your mask on? Like, that's kind of the awesome level of detail. The NBA has just solved every logistical issue and covered every basis. And so the guys and women that are inside this bubble do feel very safe. They're adapting. That would be the kind of the other comment was like, you know, they're figuring it out. Now, there was a consensus that games need to be played here pretty soon, and that's where we are. Just that there was a level of monotony and just kind of practicing, and the Jazz have felt that they've done a nice job of kind of weighing. You know, there's a tendency to overwhelm everyone with information right now and have them all get just because you could practice kind of endlessly and there's nothing else to do. And so you're weighing how much information you're getting to your guys and how much you're, overwhelming them, putting in new things or just trying to make it a game. The Jazz, as we mentioned, played a ton of 5-on-5. I've done a nice job of kind of they're in really good physical condition that they have found a way to kind of just try to get the group back together, right? Get them playing again, get them doing their thing together. They've been through so much with so many distractions and then so much, you know, fear with the COVID-19 and the testing and everybody getting it. And then isolation and everything that everybody's been through, just trying to let these guys get back to remembering, you know, who they are, what they do, how they play. So kind of exciting in that regard. They went the other day to the game court. So they've all been practicing in one set. The game court is a different setup. And I think I shared with you some notes about the incredible aspects of the TV broadcast and the game and what they're doing with it and just the level of work that the league has put in. There's a real chance, by the way, that as a fan watching the game on television, your experience here is going to be better than it would have been regularly. They, you know, when you only have one or two or three courts that they're going to be playing on, you can invest a huge amount of money into it, knowing, one, it's a special circumstance, two, maybe try to figure out what you can do for the future. The NBA's really grasped this. They have 36 mics under the court, four mics on each basket. They've created a sound fan noise that will happen from each arena so that when you listen to a Jazz game, there's four people mixing the sound, and the sound that's coming to you in Salt Lake City will be different in our opening game than the fans in New Orleans and what they're getting. And in fact, if you're a season ticket holder or a fan that goes to games, the sound very well may be you. They're taking sound from Vivint Smart Home Arena and being able to turn that into the crowd that you get on the Jazz broadcast. The other one that is amazing to me is that the floor that you will see watching a Jazz game will be the it's will look differently than the floor that the fan in New Orleans is watching. Theirs will say Smoothie King Center and have their sponsors and look like the New Orleans Pelicans floor, and our floor will look like the floor we know in Vivint Smart Home Arena. Pretty amazing. They've really done a lot of things. The players will hear the sound in the scrimmages when they play today. So, I mean, at 1 o'clock today, Orlando plays the Clippers. I think that's on NBA TV. And then there's another Washington and Denver, New Orleans and Brooklyn later tonight at 5 in Sacramento, Miami. It's worth checking them out. You'll begin to see all these different things. The players are going to get the mix of the sound. There'll be virtual signage in the building. They'll be trying a bunch of these new features in these scrimmages. It's largely why they're doing the scrimmages and why they're televising the scrimmages. So the players went to see the court. They said it was pretty awesome. And that the whole environment that the NBA has created is pretty incredible in that regard. So they really, there's a tip of the hat to everything that's going on from the NBA that everyone I've talked to. Then on the floor, really a lot of excitement about the way Mike Conley and the shape he's in and the way he has played. A huge amount of excitement as well in regards to Rudy Gobert, that Rudy has, you know, Rudy really worked hard during this. He's got a basketball court. He went after it. He had his group of people around him that he had also, you know, recovered from COVID. So in theory was probably a bit safer. And he was from there, you know, he's supposedly worked on great aspects of his game and has been absolutely dominant at times during practices. Absolutely 100% dominant at times during practices. So that's certainly exciting. Mike and Rudy seem to be the two that have kind of, and Tony Bradley seem to be the three players that when you talk to people around the Jazz, you're getting mentioned either in the media interviews or other conversations for the way they've played, how ready they are, and where their game is. So pretty exciting. All right, third part of our sequence of stories on things will be most important in the bubble, and this one is isolation play. I think isolation play will be very, very important for everybody involved. And I break down both offensively and defensively as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. If you're a do-it-yourselfer or you're a professional, Rock Auto's prices are the same for everyone, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rock Auto is for everyone and does not require membership or account login. In fact, it's back to the basics website with just amazing catalog selection for you. The catalog's unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer rather than being beholden by the brick and mortar store that tells you what they have in stock and what you have to have. Best of all, the prices always reliably low. So go to rockauto.com and find what you need for your vehicle. That's rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked on How Did You Hear About Us box. Right before you check out, it says, How Did You Hear About Us? Please write Locked On in that box and let them know who sent them. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Today's show also brought to you by Matt Lund and the crew over at Crown Ogden. Matt's done amazing work for us on Locked On. The new Locked On t-shirts are out. That's a Crown Ogden creation. The new Locked On jackets and hoodies are being worked on. That's going to be a Crown Ogden selection. But he also does so much more. Matt just loves and prides himself on a world where everyone's ecstatic about what they get, represent the best things in people's lives, do awards, to personalize the awards, and make them great. Awards recognition business is what he calls it. Rubber stamps, sand carvings, blasting, glassware, barware, specializing in lasers, engraving for machine parts, medical devices, aerospace items, traceable markings. So if you need guns, pocket knives, can do tumblers or Yeti mugs engraving. Screen printing through the heat transfer process is what they did for all of our t-shirts. It's been terrific. Banners, yard signs, all of it. Matt does amazing work there. Check out crownogden at gmail.com, Crown Ogden on Facebook, or call Matt at 801-621-2055. That's 801-621-2055. The feeling is that isolation may become more important because having continuity is going to fall apart. I don't know if I buy this entirely. Because I think these guys have actually practiced and been together a lot, and I think that they've got some relationships. Now playoff basketball has a tendency to go to isolation, so in that sense, I buy it. I'm not totally 100% convinced that for all teams this is the case, but there is something to it. That, you know, when all else breaks down, you just get into isolation. You got to be comfortable with it. If you can play good isolation basketball, in the playoffs, it usually works. Here are the teams that ran the most isolation in the league. Per 100 possessions, the Rockets, 38 possessions a game in isolation. And then next is the Spurs at 18, the Thunder at 18, the Raptors at 18, the Bucks at 17, the Blazers at 17, the Lakers at 17, Dallas at 16. Pretty interesting that the top eight teams are all bubble teams. Brooklyn is next, and then we get into New York. Pelicans, Clippers, Boston, Philadelphia. So 13 of the 14 teams that use isolation the most in the NBA are the good teams that are in the bubble. I think that's just a sign of having individual players that are that great. The Jazz are at 19th, a little bit more than they've ever been before. Teams are in the bubble that don't isolate at all. Orlando, it makes sense. They don't have the player for it. Indiana, they don't have the player for it. Miami, don't really have the go-to player. Maybe Jimmy Butler. Only run 10 a game. Butler hasn't been great this year, though. He's been great, but not pure offensively great. And then Denver doesn't run much. So the disadvantage would be Orlando and Indiana. Poor Orlando comes up on this a lot. Miami, Memphis, don't have individual greatness. Don't have that one guy. The teams that are best at it, Houston is by far the best isolation team in the NBA. Then the Bucks, then the Lakers, and then this stunned me. The Jazz are the fourth best isolation team in the league. I think a lot of it is Bojan Bogdanović. We'll dig into this in a minute. I'm not entirely sure why we're that good isolation. Spurs, DeRozan and Aldridge, Blazers with Lillard and CJ, Dallas with Luka, Thunder, who, as we mentioned earlier, run a lot of isolation, second most in the league, are about the eighth best overall team in isolation, then the Pelicans, and then the Hawks and the Celtics. So again, Rockets, Bucks, Lakers, Jazz, Spurs, Blazers, Dallas, Thunder, as teams are good at it. Just for interest, who defends it well? So the Rockets end up in the most isolation defense. The teams that are best at defending in isolation this year, Toronto, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Mavericks, interesting, surprising, the Pelicans, surprising because their transition defense is just so terrible. They're not a bad half-court defense, and everyone's talking about how since Zion came back, they're a better defensive team, and it's because they take 50% of their shots at the rim when Zion plays, which is by high, and so that by definition is making them better defensively because teams don't run off those shots. And Zion goes to the foul line a lot, so they're in a set defense. And New Orleans, when they're in a set defense, is not terrible. They just have the worst transition defense you've ever seen. Denver, isolation defense is good. Portland, Milwaukee, Boston, and Utah's 10th in isolation defense. Teams that are bad at isolation defense that are in the bubble, Phoenix, Memphis, Orlando, Washington, not surprises here. Thunder aren't very good at it. Interesting. Spurs aren't great at it, a little older. Let's go back to the isolation Jazz being as good as they are and dig into that, because it might be important for the way, if the Jazz are going to play quicker, get out more. So the lead isolation guy on our team is Donovan Mitchell at 0.97 points per isolation, a little bit below league average. Second is Bojan Bogdanović. He was right at league average at a point per possession in isolation. Jordan Clarkson is our third most common isolation guy. He's quite good at it. He's in the 80th percentile. Emmanuel Mudiay used our next most amount of isolation possessions. He's in the 70th percentile of efficiency. Joe Ingles used our was right in the middle of the kind of usage and a little above average. And here's the surprising one. So Mike Conley used our sixth most amount of isolation possessions. He's in the 90th percentile in effectiveness on isolation. You know, when we got Mike, I think we all put him into the Stockton kind of point guard mold. I think in retrospect, he's more of just a scorer. He played with Marc Gasol in his pick and roll. They were beautiful together, but Mark was handing off to him as much as anything else. I think he's a crafty, creative scorer. Good in isolation, great shooter, off the, you know, hadn't done a lot of catch and shoot stuff, but off the catch and shoot is elite. And I think we'll see more of that as he's more comfortable, as the Jazz have adapted to who he is and learning how he plays. And that might be part of where Mike looks more comfortable and is better. On the individual isolation players in the league, no surprise, James Harden and Russell Westbrook do the most. That's what is such the mystery of Houston. Will they be a good small ball playoff team because they play this much isolation? Harden's in the 85th percentile overall effectiveness. Westbrook's right in the middle of the pack. DeMar DeRozan runs the third most pick isolation and is quite good at it, 84th percentile. Interesting surprise to me here. Fourth most amount of isolation in the NBA, Pascal Siakam in Toronto. LeBron the fifth most, and he's good at it. Giannis next, he's not as good at it. Giannis is going to be interesting to watch what happens. There are still significant offensive flaws in his game that were exposed last year in the playoffs and his free throw shooting. He'll be the two-time MVP. There'll probably have never been a two-time MVP with more question marks about who he is. The reason to love Dallas is Luka, seventh in isolation possessions, 83rd percentile overall. Brandon Ingram, eighth most possessions, isolation. Julius Randle's not here. Dame Lillard, 10th most, 81st percentile overall. Kawhi Leonard, 97th percentile of isolations, 11th most in the NBA. But 11th most, let's make sure we understand this. James Harden has used 1,200 possessions in isolation. Russell Westbrook has used 800. DeMar DeRozan, 600. I'm rounding the numbers. By the time we get to Dame and Kawhi and Devin Booker, it's at 350. It's one-fifth of James Harden. It's a third, not quite, of Russell Westbrook, a little more. And it's half DeMar DeRozan. Not quite, but you got it. Just kind of. So the amount here is, you know, Kawhi is going to use 10 isolation possessions per 100 possessions. Harden's 27. Westbrook's 20. Lillard's using 8 isolations per 100 possessions. So he truly is one third of James Harden and less than half of Russell Westbrook. Jason Tatum is 13th, 82nd percentile. Surprise here, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 82nd percentile, 14th most. Bunch of guys that aren't in here. Tobias Harris uses the 18th most and is not particularly good at it. CJ McCollum, 20th most, not particularly good at it. Below average is what I mean by that. Nikola Jokic, isolation presented possessions, 21st in the league and in the 81st percentile. Drew Holiday, very good, 78th percentile. Chris Paul, 72nd. And then Chris Middleton, who's kind of, you know, the unsung star. If we took a little breakdown of those players that actually, you know, use a few a game. And took players who, you know, let's say anyone who averages at least 4 isolation percentages, possessions per 48 minutes. I'll give you the best in the league at that, who the best in the league at that are, as we continue. Today's show brought to you by my friends at the store. Just good people. And you can feel it when you go in. All the Utah's own products that are there. The high school kids helping out the elderly folks when they take their bags to the car for them. The urban store downtown where you can get all your hot, the pre-made lunches that they've now done for you inside the COVID rules, plus grab-and-go lunches, plus all the things you need. That's down at the Gateway. The 6200 South 20th East store, you go to the back left corner. They've got all the prepackaged foods. They did some, I saw the other day, they had pulled pork you could take home. Barbecue ribs that you heat up in 20 minutes. The chicken enchiladas. It's just a great environment, the store. Traeger grills are out now as well, as they're connected to the Cottonwood Ace that's right next door. If you're looking for Traeger grills, that's the best Traeger setup you can find. It's all at the store. 6200 South 20th East, located down at the Gateway as well. And what am I going to tell you? Make sure you go get your mudslide cookie and a little Locked On mudslide ice cream from Leatherbees while you're there as well. It's all at the store, 6200 South and 20th East. Okay, here are the players that if we limit down those players that have at least 4 isolation possessions, 100 possessions, we get to about 93 players. And then we eliminate those that have had, like, no opportunities. These are the 10 most effective, and maybe I'll take it out to 20, isolation players in the NBA. Surprising to me. Eric Bledsoe is number 1. De'Aaron Fox is number 2. James Harden is number 3, which is just mind-blowing that you can run that many, 26 a game. De'Aaron Fox is running 6 a game, 100 possessions. And Harden's running 26. He's not on the floor for all 100 possessions, so it's not per game. DeMar DeRozan, 5th best. Makes him a tough matchup. Jazz play the Spurs twice. Luka's 6th best. Makes him a tough playoff player. We'll see what happens. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 7th best, young emerging star at Oklahoma City. Jason Tatum, 8th. Dame Lillard, 9th. Nikola Jokic, 10th. Emmanuel Mudiay, 11th. D'Angelo Russell, not available. He's in Minnesota now, 12th. Drew Holiday, 13th. Chris Middleton, 14th. LeBron James, 15th. Eric Gordon, 16th. Probably has a lot of space. No one's leaving anyone. Trey Young, who's not available, 16th. Spencer Carl Anthony Towns, 17th. Spencer Dinwiddie, 18th. Anthony Davis, isolation, 19th best. Brandon Ingram, 20th. And Kyrie Irving, 21st. It's an interesting list. Who are the least good of guys that actually do it? DeJounte Murray. Blake Griffin when he was playing, which is a telling to his health. Lou Williams. The interesting note, Patrick Beverley has left the Clippers. And I've said this all year that I think the Clippers have a Lou Williams problem. He's a brilliant player. Unless you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the floor, then you don't need his offense. He's terrible defensively, so you can go after him. Beverly has left the bubble right now for a serious family issue. That seems to be the reoccurring theme. And we'll see when he comes back. They've got a long way to go, but the fact that Lou Williams actually isn't even that good in isolation anymore begins to show the aging that's taking place, but also kind of backs up some of my thoughts on that. Julius Randle, who uses a ton of possessions, is not good and is not in the bubble. Danilo Gallinari, one of the lowest efficiency rate. He's a good basketball player. Oklahoma City's kind of relying on him. Caris LeVert, Kyle Kuzma, Paul George. Paul George comes out here. So, you know, guys have at least used 100 overall the whole season. DeJounte Murray, Lou Williams, Julius Randle, Danilo Gallinari, Caris LeVert, Kyle Kuzma. Paul George is the seventh worst. Jimmy Butler's the eighth worst. Jaylen Brown is the ninth worst. Colin Sexton, who's not here, is 10th. And then Tobias Harris, 11th. Fred VanVleet, 12th. Kevin Porter Jr. is not here, 13th. Jeff Teague, Bradley Beal, Eric Paschal, Malcolm Brogdon, Carmelo, and Pascal Siakam. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown is pretty surprising. Tobias Harris. If you can get Paul George into isolation, that's actually where you want him. That's not a high-level, high-efficiency opportunity for the Clippers. Kendall Baker of Axios continues, and the all-time rosters, number 9, is your Utah Jazz. He goes with John Stockton, Pete Maravich, Adrian Dantley, Karl Malone, and Rudy Gobert as our all-time 5. You got 4 Hall of Famers. That's pretty good. Darren is your 6th man with Andre Kirilenko, Jeff Hornacek, Paul Millsap, Carlos Boozer, Gordon Hayward, and Mark Eaton. So the Jazz come in 9th. It's kind of where we projected them when we all did this at the very beginning. Ahead of the Knicks, ahead of the Rockets, ahead of the Blazers, ahead of the Nuggets, ahead of the Thundersonics. Ugh. So the Jazz finally come in, and they come in at 9th. Pretty interesting. A few other notes for you. So Patrick Beverley, Zion are all out of the bubble. Zion's getting interesting because I don't think he, best of my knowledge, he's not back in the bubble. And the Jazz play the Pelicans in the first game. So the last update on Zion was just that they were giving him his freedom. And that he was attending to a family emergency. So here's the way it works. Is Zion has to get tested and test negative every single day that he's out of the bubble. In theory, if he misses a day, that resets his clock. And upon his return, he goes 4 days in isolation or quarantine. And then he's free. So if Zion were, we open on a week from tomorrow. If Zion re-entered the bubble today, then he's free to practice by Monday the 27th. It also means we're about 3 days away from Zion not playing against the Utah Jazz on the 30th. If he doesn't get tested every day, or if he doesn't get a negative test every day, he has 2 weeks in which he goes into isolation. 2 weeks. So when these guys leave, one of the things that's going to be interesting is if they suddenly don't screw up and don't get a test every day, and I don't know, I'm assuming the teams are going to make sure they do, but They then have to go 2 weeks of isolation. And that is a lot. And that is prohibitive. And it will be interesting to see if that impacts guys coming back. Mike Conley goes out for his wife's pregnancy. I'm assuming he has to be tested every day. And then if he tests negative, he comes back. He goes through this as an excused absence. But what happens if something goes wrong one day and he doesn't get tested? Then it's 2 weeks. He's just not coming back. Dennis Schroeder's in a similar circumstance with his wife giving birth. Interesting times. That is Locked On Jazz today. Tomorrow, we will talk about a scrimmage in which we are going to play basketball. And today, we are going to watch basketball. It's incredible. Lots of great stuff going on. Right now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast, Locked On NBA. Have a great day.